It's Bob Simpson on the Phoenix FM Drive Show in association with St Francis Hospice, and I'm pleased to say it's time for my guests. Now, procrastination. Wills, inheritance tax and estate planning is the kind of thing you think about and think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, but it's really important to get those things planned in your life. So I'm pleased to welcome Joe Druce and Sangeet Tatum from F. Barnes Solicitor to talk all about it. Welcome.
Hello.
So, why should you make a will, and when is the best time to make a will, Sangeet?
Okay, there are a plethora of reasons why people make wills. It could be to ensure the people that you really want to benefit do inherit at some point. Might also have vulnerable dependents or beneficiaries that you might want to cater for and look after. It could be just to maximize your tax allowance, make your wills effective for tax planning, inheritance tax, and so on. It could be for many, many reasons, and to even hold assets in trust. Everyone should make a will. I mean, as long as you own a property and you own any assets in your name, you should make a will. There's never a right time to make it, but if you haven't got one in place, then you should do so as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I know from my own family, we've had circumstances where one partner has sort of early onset dementia, and we thought the other partner was fit and well, and suddenly he had a stroke, and everything was kind of left up in the air. And whilst they had made some arrangements, they never sort of anticipated something like that happening to him. So it's very important. So how much does it cost to make a will, and why should you go to a solicitor to prepare one as opposed to doing your own one online?
Wills do not cost a lot to put in place. It's usually a small cost of £200 plus VAT, which we charge for a simple will.
Oh, right. That's
if your
reasonable.
Wills need to include any tax planning, any trust provisions, obviously, you know, the cost may vary, but obviously we'll speak to you and then determine what sort of wills and what sort of drafting you would need.
Right.
Our charges are also posted on the website, so you're more than, you know, free to go and have a look and see what the cost could be.
So it's all transparent sort of thing. So, supposing you haven't made a will, what are the pitfalls of that, and who ends up getting the money if you don't make a will?
Well, there can be some consequences. I mean, a lot of married people think that, you know, as long as one of them passes away, everything will just be left to their spouses.
Yeah.
That's not actually correct in the fact that if you pass away without making a will, you'll be considered to have passed away intestate. Then the rules of intestacy come into play, and it's not always that the spouse inherits everything, depending on whether they are children and so on and so forth. So you could be chancing as to who you would like to get the monies in due course. And sometimes,
indeed,
you know, you have family trees that come into play, and great aunts and uncles and cousins inherit as well.
And that's when the arguments start, isn't it?
Yes, they do.
And if you've got it sort of firmly fixed in a will, then that prevents all that, doesn't it?
So, that's right.
But I mean, in those cases, can a will be challenged?
Yeah, a will can be challenged. If you haven't got a will and someone passes away, there's always a 2-year period from the date of death, in which a deed of variation can be put in place. And it can vary the rules of intestacy, or it can vary the provisions of the will depending on what needs to be achieved. But the difficulty in that is that the people who might inherit might not want to be giving away some of their inheritance.
Indeed.
And therefore might not comply and not agree. And if nobody agrees to the deed being put in place, it is quite difficult to put one in place.
Absolutely. What about the question of tax? What sort of tax do you end up paying on these things?
I mean, as far as inheritance tax is the main tax in connection when someone passes away, everyone has a tax-free allowance of $325,000.
Right.
And the basic rule that applies is as long as your estate exceeds $325,000, the excess is then taxed at 40%, which is quite a high rate.
That is, yeah.
If you've made wills leaving everything to your spouse, you get the spouse's exemption. Then on the second death, you've got your spouse's allowance to claim together with yours. So it gives you a tax-free allowance of $650,000. And if you've got a main residence as a property, then they've got residential nil rate bans that are in place since 2017, which actually give you a bit more allowances as far as tax is concerned. So for today's date, if a married couple leaving everything to each other, on the second death, you're looking at £900,000 tax exemptions before any inheritance tax will apply. But there are certain rules and considerations that you need to put in place in order to have
happen. Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to do it right. So how do you protect your assets from going to HMRC?
Well, there are quite a lot of things that you can do. You can make sure you make a will and leave it to whoever you want to leave it. And you make sure you use the charities exemption, you know, pass some of the tax over to the charities, and that will exempt your estate from certain tax repercussions. Yeah. You could also just do simple, straightforward things, you know, in regards to severances of joint tenancy and so on. So, yeah, do go and speak to a solicitor some proper advice.
Yeah, that's right. What about if you have concerns about, say, a family member's mental capacity to deal with their affairs? That sometimes causes problems, doesn't it?
Usually, when people have capacity, it is much easier. You can always, you know, deal with matters, put a will in place, put the power of attorneys in place to make sure that there's someone there that can deal with the property and financial affairs during their lifetimes. If you feel someone is getting a bit too forgetful, or you think that they might be heading down the route of losing capacity, then as solicitors, we would ask for a doctor's letter to confirm that they've got capacity before we start drafting wills or preparing power of attorneys for them. But it might be a good idea to actually try and put something in place at that point in time rather than leaving it too late when they've lost capacity. Yeah. All is not lost, though, because if someone loses mental capacity and they don't have a will in place or a power of attorney in place, the Court of Protection is the court that has jurisdiction in such matters. Okay. And you can always get a deputyship order by the persons who need to deal with the property and finances of a person who lacks capacity by going to court. Or you can have a statutory will put in place by the court in certain circumstances.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned a power of attorney there. How long does a power of attorney last, and how much does it cost to set up?
Okay, the ambit of a power of attorney, it's in its name, the lasting power of attorney. So it will last throughout your lifetime as long as you have as long as you've had mental capacity when you made it. And it becomes obsolete on death, and at death the will takes place. But a power of attorney, most solicitors in most areas charge around £500 to £550 plus VAT to put one in place.
Right.
There is a registration fee payable to the court, which is the Office of Public Guardian, of £82 to register the power before it can be used.
Okay. Now, care home costs is a big issue these days, and concern now how you can help someone plan for this. How can you do that?
There are a few simple things that we can all do. You know, we can mitigate care costs in the long run by making sure that we hold our properties as tenants in common rather than on a joint tenancy basis. So you sort of mitigate the amount that the local authorities can attach when someone goes into a home, because in a tenancy in common, each party would be deemed to own a certain percentage of the property, and the local authorities can only place a charge towards the amount the person owns in their property.
Right.
Whereas on a joint tenancy, you own it to the exclusion of each other, so your percentages or shares are not defined in a joint tenancy. So the simple thing would be to effect a severance. You can have a life interest trust put in place whereby the half share of the property or the share in the property is held in trust for certain beneficiaries with a right of residence or a life tenancy for your spouse and so on. And in that effect, that should the surviving spouse go into a home, you're mitigating any care provisions only towards a half share of the property.
Yeah. It's a minefield, isn't it? There's so many sort of pitfalls in this, and you really do need a solicitor's help, I think. What about when you lose someone in your family? What is the typical process to administer their estate? For example, does a solicitor have to be appointed to do this?
Not in all cases. In some cases, you will have spouses which hold everything jointly. And if everything is held jointly, then obviously you don't even need a grant of probate to administer an estate.
Right.
Come in and see solicitors, because we advise clients, and sometimes we will tell them you don't need to extract a grant and the client can go ahead and deal with matters themselves. Some clients actually tend to extract grants on their own accord, so that is a possibility if you are capable of doing it. Most people like to appoint solicitors because then they're sure that any tax exemptions available are all claimed, the estate is distributed in accordance with the terms of the will, and they don't have to worry about any squabbling beneficiaries or heirs that might be.
Yeah, it's the safest way, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Now, you're also a notary public, I understand. Now, I don't know even what one of those are. What does a notary public do, and why would you need a notary?
Okay. A notary public is a legally trained person that deals with documentation for use abroad. So anything that goes abroad, whether it be of a commercial nature, worldwide transactions, inheritance, provisions overseas, you will need the documents that go abroad to be signed and notarized and witnessed by a notary. A solicitor's jurisdiction in England and Wales will extend to the area in which your practicing license is issued. So I'm a solicitor of Supreme Court of England and Wales, so I can only practice as solicitor within that jurisdiction.
Okay.
So if I were to sign any paperwork and send it abroad, it might be rejected because I don't actually have the authority to represent to third parties that I'm an officer of the court and I can actually sign this paperwork. So a notary facilitates transactions abroad in most cases.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you, Sangeet. We're going to talk to Joanna Drews now. Joanna's the Business Development Manager of F. Barnes, and you wanted to talk to us today about a couple of promotions you're running at the moment, didn't you, Jo?
Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
Hiya. Hiya, Bob. So obviously running off the back of the interview today with Sangeet and us coming along, we thought it would be quite a nice gesture to offer a 10% discount to any Phoenix FM listener. We'll run that until the end of April.
Wow.
As Sangeet said earlier, all our prices, we're very transparent with our prices.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all on our website. It's very easy to look on the pricing tab. Scroll down on the probate pricing, and you'll see there we do offer, that's a basic guide, but we do offer additional discounts. You know, we touched on lasting powers of attorney. So in an ideal world, when you make a will, it's a perfect opportunity to consider making a lasting power of attorney to completely give you peace of mind. So if all of those things are done at the same time, if you deem that that's helpful, then we'll give additional discount. And obviously, if you mention Phoenix FM when you call in, you'll get an additional 10% on top of that.
Fantastic.
So we just thought that would help.
Yeah.
And the next thing I wanted to highlight was our family department. We are running a 30-minute free consultation for anybody that wants to come along to discuss if they don't have to come along after, you know, when they've broken down, if they're thinking that the relationship is broken down.
Right.
Often we will advise it's better to come in and get 30 minutes. You can cover a lot of ground in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We're very skilled at identifying in that time, you know, the pinpoints of what's best for you and your family. It then gives you something to go away and think about. And you know, it may be 6 months to a year before you come back. But the main important point for us to identify those aspects. So there's a 3 30-minute interview there, as I say, call up and arrange it with one of our family advisors.
That's very helpful for someone who's probably going through a very confusing and fraught time to get some advice.
It's like a very upsetting time. And our solicitors know that, appreciate that. They don't talk to you like a number.
No, no.
We do hold hands.
No,
so,
that's great.
Yeah, that 30 minutes, it really does help.
Okay.
Give the person peace of mind.
That's great. Now, this show is produced in association with St. Francis Hospice, and I know you heavily support St. Francis Hospice, don't you?
Yeah.
Tell me what you've been doing.
Yep. Well, we've been involved with St. Hospice for as far back as I can remember, but we've had a lovely 3 years where we've joined with Barry Hearn, who's the patron, and yourselves, the Business Alliance Group. And we all work together every 3 months and we brainstorm as what we can do, businesses. The one that started off this year was the Big 50 Challenge, which you were a part of as well.
Right.
So we've just presented them with their cheque last night, which was £468.
Excellent.
The hospice gives you £50 and say to you,
oh, yes,
try to convert it into as much money as you can. So we did that. And then we've got the Eggheads Big Quiz coming up, which is on the 22nd of March. You're heavily advertising that.
That's right.
We're sponsoring that. I'm really looking forward to meeting the Egghead. Steve Davis is presenting.
Yeah.
He's got a great personality.
Yeah.
I spoke to the organisers last night. There's still, we're just over 500 tickets sold.
Wow.
The celebrities have donated all their free time. They're not getting paid. It's a wonderful opportunity to raise some money for the hospice. So You can get tickets through our website. You can get tickets through the St Francis Hospice website.
And I should mention that our very own Chris Hood will be co-presenting with Steve Davis, because if I don't, he's going to kill me. So
he will. And I did actually have a chat to see if I could try to get the questions in advance, but no, he's being very good.
Well, it's always a great occasion. I mean, you normally, I think, have around about 1,000 people turn up for this.
They've changed venue. It's at the City Pavilion, Collier Row, just to bring some new lease of life into the event, really. Yeah. And yes, you're right, 1,000 people, it can hold up to 1,000 people. They're inviting people, it's up to teams of 12, and they're inviting people to dress their table and come along. So, I think it's great. And all proceeds go to the hospice, so it's brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic, yeah. So. Okay, now finally, I'm told you want to tell me about a couple of vacancies.
Well, we're always looking for fantastic legal talent that would like to come on board a lovely, friendly practice. But the couple of positions I wanted to highlight, the one it will be a great opportunity for a young person is our trainee solicitor position at the moment. They're really hard to come by, training contracts, really, really hard. So we're looking to start somebody. Ideally, they will have got their law degree, they'll have passed their LPC, which they'll know what I mean, LPC.
Yep.
Maybe have had 6 months to 12 months experience as a paralegal. So, all CVs come to me. We're interviewing over the next couple of weeks, and then we'd like to offer, the successful candidate. Yeah. An opportunity to qualify.
Wonderful. It's a shame it's not a couple of years' time, because our presenter, Courtney Lee Collins, who was on Phoenix before me this morning, she's studying law at university, but she's only in her first year. So
always come back to us when the time comes. But we're looking for somebody to join our commercial property department.
Right.
Ideally someone who's got about 3 or 4 years experience. Again, all details are on the website. There are another couple of vacancies, but they're the two I'd really like to have people apply to me.
Lovely. Okay. Well, finally, before you go, perhaps you can give us some contact details for F. Barnes Solicitors, yeah?
Yeah, wonderful. Our website is www.fbarnes.co.uk. Telephone number 01708 745183. And as I say, contact myself, joanne.drews at fbarnes.co.uk.
Well remembered. Very good indeed. Well, Jo Drews and Sangeet Tatum, thank you so much for talking to me today. If you missed any of that, we'll get it up on the Phoenix FM website tomorrow morning, because I'm going out tonight. So there we are.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.